This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
WEEI with KJ and Lyons. We appreciate you being here. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. That's Gerard Mayo on the Greg Hill Show talking to Wiggy and saying, look, and I've always said this, John, and we've said this extensively before people really got loud about what they feel about Mayo. What he tells his players is more important if he tells it to them first than whatever we may feel once he tells us in public. And I go back to this again. Wouldn't you rather have Gerard Mayo tell you what he's telling his players, especially if it's going to move the players forward, versus believing what he's saying too much? Like, you have to be honest. We are a society that wants to know everything. Suddenly, we don't want to know everything about the team that's only, what, got one or two wins?
Yeah, I've been on record about this for a long time. I think it's nice to have some of the transparency, but I think he goes too far sometimes. Like, that cut with Wiggy, I thought was totally fine, right? And there's other times that he's been fine. I just think sometimes he goes too far, creates an extra distraction that doesn't need to be there. I think a lot of it is he's a rookie head coach, right? And he's only been a coach for 5 years, and he dealt with the media as a player, and I know he was a member of the media when he was with NBC Sports Boston for a while, but he hasn't dealt with it in the context of a head coach at all before this year. And I think what we're going to see from him, my opinion, is next year, the year after, he's going to be transparent, but there are going to be maybe more limits on it than what we've seen so far this year.
So let me ask you where you think things are now, because I think that by making the statement saying that the team has been playing soft, it woke people up in the locker room. I really think it did. I don't think he lost the locker room. I think, and this is what I was saying, I think some of these players had to come to the realization that this could be the last stop at the OK Corral for me. Even with Josh Uche getting traded, you're like, he's getting traded to the Chiefs. He's literally only going for a look-see. If you think he's going to be in there for three downs as soon as he gets there, no, he might get sprinkled into maybe 10 plays in his first game. Maybe 10 plays to see what he can do on third down. They may see what they can get out of him for 30 snaps and determine, is this the guy that we want? Do we find somebody, you know what I mean? Like, do we possibly get somebody else next week to do the same thing? Like, there's no guarantee just because it looks like he's going to a better situation. But I think Gerard Mayo has to start allowing some of the bloodletting to occur. For those that can't contribute or don't want to be here, that's perfectly fine. You're not leaving a playoff team. Because if you did, if this was a playoff team, what do you say, winning cures everything, right? Nobody would be having complaints because they're winning. But I think getting this win against the Jets, which on paper no one thought was going to have, after 58 minutes, and the Yankees are about to tie this up, possibly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another Castellanos. That was a Castellanos moment for you.
Without
usually
even
it's me.
Saying it, yes.
Usually it's
even
me. That was one
it.
For you.
Yeah, that almost went out, Jazz. Yeah. So, look, I think it's one of those situations where Gerard Mayo is laying the foundation of, and it's not so much my way or the highway, but I believe there's a best practices way, and if you don't believe in that way, or you have something, if you seem to have more to say than what you're doing on the field, you're an easy removal. Like, despite what Ramondre Stevenson is going through right now, at least he's not gone vocal with it. You see what I'm saying?
But no, I 100%. And I think it's kind of the old adage, if you're not on the same page, you're not going to be here, right?
Right, you're not going to be in the book.
Yeah, right. We've seen that a lot of, you know, places, successful organizations. And I think what's really interesting to monitor, because we've got the trade deadline coming up here, right?
Right.
What is, and we've talked about this a lot, what is the working relationship between Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolff? And I think most indications have been it's pretty good so far, but they're still new at working together. We don't know how good or bad it really is, because if there are certain guys that Mayo says, hey, I don't want to work with this guy, or hey, I don't think this guy's part of our long-term plan, if Wolff disagrees with him, how is that going to be handled? And that's just something that they're both rookies, right? So we don't know how it's going to be till it happens. But if Mayo comes to him and says, player X is not really in my long-term plan for the Patriots, but Elliott Wolff says, well, player X is in my long-term plan for the Patriots, who gets their way? Because Mayo said over the summer, Elliott has final say on the roster. And he even said that in the context of like cuts at the end of training camp, which I remember you and I talked about. I was shocked by, because that's almost always something that's a head coach thing, right? It's one thing to draft a guy. It's one thing to sign a big free agent. But those roster cuts in training camp, like, that's generally the coaching staff and their decision, because they're working with him every day. So for him to make that comment around that, it makes me wonder if Mayo goes to him and says, hey, this guy is not with the program, is Wolf going to tell him, oh, yeah, I agree, let's trade him? But what if Wolf says, nah, he's part of my long-term plan. You're going to have to work with him. I think that's one thing to really watch over this next week or so. What is that working relationship like?
Or the other side of that could be where Elliott Wolf is saying, Gerard, I need you to be fully transparent, hold nothing back in your honest assessment about anybody, 1 through 53. Yep. Now, if there's a contract situation, I can put that in front of you, but it doesn't necessarily mean I disagree with your move. So I don't want to use any player as an example, but let's say there's a player that clearly Wolf wants to keep around because they have some significant money, and Gerard Mayo saying, I don't think this player necessarily wants to be here. Then maybe Wolf says, okay, well, let's continue to flush this out, but here's what it's going to take to replace it, and I'm not sure, or I can't think of who I can get on the phone right now that would have that need and be able to provide our need in return. So the first one, I think, was the Judon situation, which I think was a success, right? Here's a guy that doesn't want to be here. There is a contract situation that is swirling around that is going to either be a problem or going to be a solved issue, depending on how we go. Let me see what I can get, and if it's something feasible for this team, which a third rounder was, then you can make that move where it's like, hey, Gerard Mayo may have set that in motion and Elliott Wolf made it happen, versus saying, well, no, I don't know if you want to get rid of this guy just yet. I don't think Elliott Wolf has that type of say. I think it's one of those, whatever you're bringing to me, and if it's something that's pretty big in the scope of this team, let me chew on it and then get back to you to let you know what are the perspectives that we could get back for this person or this player. And if it isn't worth the return, then you're just going to have to sit on your hands then when it becomes. That's why I think that might be the separating wall.
And I think this upcoming week can tell us, did they learn anything from the Judon situation? Because I think the Judon situation was a great example of, they got a really good end result, right? They moved a guy that didn't really want to be here, and they got a third round pick. But I think it was a lot of bad process that got them there. So they got a good result, but I don't know if they can repeat that with the process they took, with some of the bad decisions they made regarding him along the way, some of the public spat level of it. So did they learn from that in, hey, maybe they can have a better process, which will lead to not just one good result like it did with Judon, but maybe multiple good results, because, again, they have a better process. They've learned from that situation. So that's something I think we can see, like the Uche situation. They didn't activate him for the Jets game. They traded him to a team, and they got a sixth-round pick, which I think, again, I would have liked it in this coming draft better, but a sixth-round pick for a guy that wasn't playing that much for you, is on a one-year deal, and is not going to play that much for his new team, I think that's reasonable value. So even that shows me maybe a little bit of progress from the Judon situation. We'll see if they end up trading any of their other vets, if they're able to work it out similar to the Uche situation or similar to the Judon situation.
Well, I just thought about the Uche situation, why it does make sense for a next year sixth round. Well, you know it's going to be damn near a seventh rounder this year, right?
Yep.
So anything can happen next season where that sixth rounder could be mid-table. You know, you like, again, you already know where the Chiefs are pretty much going to land and flush out, even if they get eliminated. Think about it.
Yeah, they'll be in the final four at worst, it feels like.
Right, exactly. So you realize that this is probably a pick that's four away from the top of the seventh round. So if that's the case, you're like, you might get a better value if you just wait for it to be next year. And at the same time, this might be something that you can include in something if you're trying to get another deal done. I think in an example, right, is like, okay, the Judon is one situation where how that was handled, it wasn't pretty, but it got done. Another situation would be Jalen Reagor, right, where it wasn't pretty, wasn't productive, got it done by cutting. Just like, look, you're released. So I think we know what the floor looks like and a little bit of the ceiling, right? Because Judon was one of the better players on this roster. But where things are in the middle is where it gets interesting. So, you know, look, if you're saying that, you know, Keyshawn Boutte and DeMario Douglas are really kind of the guys are leading the wide receiver room. What does that say for KJ Osborne? What does that maybe to potentially say for Kendrick Bourne? Not in the sense that he's not performing or he can't perform, but he may still have more value now than, say, in 3 or 4 weeks when you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and Kendrick Bourne's an interesting
Grand
one.
Grand Slam
too.
Yankees. They're up 5-2. You want to do Lions Den all over again just in case?
No, no.
You jinxed them. Damn jinxed them.
I might have.
Okay.
But Bourne's an interesting guy because I think you can look at Kendrick Bourne and say, man, you put him on a great offense as the number 2 or 3 option, and that's money, right? That's really – we're talking about a guy that had 800 yards receiving in 2021, was on pace to surpass that last year before he got hurt. Like, the talent's there. He seems like a high-character guy, but he's still working his way back from injury. He hasn't been that good yet. You plug him into a situation with a really good team.
So it'd have to be a slower introduction, I think, more so than just immediate guy.
But that's a guy that, like, if I'm a contender, maybe I overpay a little bit when I say overpay. Maybe I give you a late 4th or early 5th round pick instead of a 6th or 7th because maybe that's the guy in a key playoff game will have 4 or 5 big catches as my 3rd or 4th receiver and put me over the top. So I think Bourne and Jonathan Jones is another guy I put in that same group. And I think Jones is a better player than Bourne. But
right.
Jones, multi-time Super Bowl champ, was one of the best slot corners in the NFL when he played there. He's also played outside. He's a good speed guy, can play anywhere, can play man, can play zone. Like, that's really valuable for a contending team. So,
right, so you might get a better haul for him than you would for anybody on the offensive side of the ball.
I think you outside of
Ramondre Stevenson. Because I think with Kendrick Bourne, you're saying, okay, he probably has to go to somewhere where they already have a complement of receivers. And he could be tossed into that mix where he isn't probably the first, second, or maybe even third option. He might be the guy that spells a number 3 guy to start because he's still got to get in the system, get acclimated, and so forth. That's why when you hear people say, oh, him going to San Francisco, not to take the load. He's not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's going to happen. But if you said someone like maybe the Houston Texans, that might make some type of sense there, right? You still have Dell there, but Diggs goes down.
Yeah.
So you still have some pieces there, and he might be someone that you can kind of merge in to kind of get acclimated and then be a bigger contributor, like which I could see what you're picturing, where he could be huge. It could be with someone like Houston. But then if you say like someone like Baltimore is like they already have guys like that, like with Aguilar and Bateman and stuff like that.
They just traded for Deontay Johnson today.
Right, exactly, so, yeah. which is absolutely sick. And then you say the Chiefs, but you're like, okay, if you're on the phone with the Chiefs this much, like what's really going on? But if he went to the Chiefs, you might say, that could be pretty interesting as well. You put him in there with Hopkins. Worthy is still a young guy. Rashid Rice is probably gone for the year. So for the rest of the year. So that's somewhere he could go where he could be. What's the guy's name that came back, but he hasn't really panned out? Valdez Scantling?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Oh, Hardman came back.
Hardman came back, right. Yeah. So those guys haven't really popped, even though they've come back. And I think one of them gone, don't ask me to remember everybody who's still with the Chiefs. But a Kendrick Bourne, you could see going to Kansas City and saying, okay, here's a 3rd and 10, and they've got a double bracket on Kelsey, and they've covered everything, and DeAndre Hopkins, it's covered over the top. Or they've got a coverage on him. This is where Bourne can sneak in where you're not looking for him. So, yeah, I could see him being in a situation like that. But ultimately, both would come to a winner, and they may only give you a 5th round.
And one thing I found interesting about Sunday's game is Marcus Jones covered Garrett Wilson a lot, and he started at outside corner, which is not somewhere he typically plays, and Jonathan Jones played
developing
more inside.
Developing some tape.
Well, and it's funny, that the thought crossed my mind that, okay, maybe at this point, Marcus Jones is a great athlete. They think he's a little bit quicker, a little bit better athlete than John Jones, who's been in the league 8 years. But maybe there's a little piece that says, well, if we show John Jones playing well in the slot, that helps his trade value too. Like, I'm not saying they centered things around that, but maybe that's one of those kind of in the back of your mind bonus motivations to do something like that. Because maybe I missed it in the week leading up in practice, but I was really surprised to see Marcus Jones start on the outside and Jonathan Jones then come in the slot, a role he hasn't played in a few years.
Well, yeah, well, the defense is, can he help with the run? Can you come off that? Can you help set the edge a little bit for us? All right, KJ Lyons, continue the football conversation here with next. We'll talk about the Titans game coming up. Patriots are not favored. They're underdogs in this game. It's kind of weird. Where's Drake May in terms of the concussion protocol? All that and more next. Right now, it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins back in action tonight, taking on the Flyers over at TD Garden. Right now, Flyers still lead 1-0 with 11 minutes remaining in the game. Junas Corposalo got the start in net for
you. Mean the Flyers still lead 1-0?
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, I was going to say, wake up from that dream.
Yeah. They've threatened a whole lot, but no action yet. Celtics have the night off tonight after beating the Milwaukee Bucks 119-108. They'll head to Indianapolis tomorrow for a playoff rematch with the Pacers. Patriots had the day off today as well. They return to practice tomorrow ahead of Sunday's matchup in Nashville with the Titans. No injury report has been released, so Drake May's status continues to be unknown after exiting Sunday's matchup with a head injury. A lot of major news in the NFL world today. Indianapolis Colts benching their 2023 first-round pick Anthony Richardson in favor of veteran Joe Flacco. Ravens acquired wide receiver Deontay Johnson and a sixth-round pick from the Panthers in exchange for a fifth. Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs tore his ACL in Sunday's matchup against the Colts, ending his season. And the Vikings acquired left tackle Cam Robinson from Jacksonville for a conditional fifth-round pick. Finally, the Dodgers with a chance to claim the World Series title tonight in the Bronx. Currently, the Yankees lead that one 5-2 in the top of the fourth off the bat of Anthony Volpe, who just hit a grand slam to give them the lead. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. Wrapping things up with KJ and Lyons after this.
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment. A show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lyons. A show for the people. By the people.
Yes, KJ and Lyons can.
KJ and Lyons are doing a heck of a job.
And yes, KJ and Lyons are bigly on sports. Read my lips. KJ and Lyons are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lyons work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lyons. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Thank you for spending your Tuesday with us. Remember, you missed any of the show, not a problem. As my French teacher would say, pas de problème. The Odyssey app is free. I don't know how you say Odyssey in French. L'Odyssey? L'Odyssey?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, I think L'Odyssey. It's a company, so it would just be the same.
L'Odyssey? But you have to take out the E, so it has to be L'Apostrophe.
Yeah.
L'Apostrophe. L'Apostrophe. I know our French Canadian fan base and is just loving us right there on like the New Hampshire Vermont line that are way up there like near Plattsburgh. You know, we sneak and speak French so that way you don't seem to be part of the revolution. We thank you for listening to us, and if you missed any of us or any of it, the app is free. WEEI. You type in at the Odyssey app, L'Odyssey, and we say WEEI du nuit. At night, right?
I went to France once, but I don't know.
Wait, you went to France once and my French speaking is better than yours?
Definitely. No doubt in my mind.
Oh, so you were just that tourist over there like talking
to
my phone.
I tried to be polite, but there's no doubt in my mind that your French is better than mine. And actually, a lot of people spoke pretty good English over there,
I'm sure they do. Like, two baguettes. I don't want duh. Two baguettes, not duh baguettes. Two. Yeah. So yeah, look, I had a French teacher that had us listen to Edith Piaf so much. I was like, damn, I wonder if I taught a class of like someone to be able to how to have some good colloquialisms when you go to somewhere. What would I play them? Like Rick James? You know, like Funkadelic? You know, to just be able for you to vibe at the cookout? Yeah. So, you know, like, yeah. So, yeah. So, again, shout out to all of our French Canadian correspondents here of KJA Lyons, Avec Lyons. Now, KJ, it would be KJ Avec Lyons. Lyons Yvette KJ.
Sure.
Yeah, because you say things backwards there. So one thing that I think is kind of backwards, I'm kind of baffled by it, is that Vegas or the lines or the odds makers have Tennessee as a 3-point favorite over the Patriots. The only reason why I think that might be the case, John, they believe that Drake May will not play this weekend.
Yeah, and what's the traditional stat, right? Like the home team gets 3 points if it's kind of an even matchup or something right. like that. Like maybe they view it as, hey, these are two bad teams. Maybe the Patriots are a little better, but we don't know or we don't think Drake's going to play. So there you go. That's your 3.5 right there. But I got to be honest, KJ, from the beginning of the season, I thought the Tennessee game was the most winnable for the Patriots. And watching this season, I still feel that way. Like, they've won 2 games.
Well, yeah, now, yeah.
And I feel like the Tennessee game is even more winnable than the 2 games they've won.
Yeah, it feels more winnable than the Jacksonville game that you thought that the Patriots, I thought that the Patriots could win, but clearly that's why I'm not an odds maker. I think that line was 6.5, and they lost by 16.
Yep.
So it's like, damn, it was 2-digit loss. So I'm not going to get here. Tennessee doesn't have a run game. They went ahead and signed Tony Pollard to that deal. Tony Pollard, really, he was a compliment in Dallas. Now he's not a lead in Tennessee. Their quarterback situation is one of the worst in the league. I mean, right now, Ryan Tannehill is probably like, hell no, I'm not taking the phone call.
Yeah,
like,
Arthur Smith, too.
Yeah, well, yes.
Great job. Like, because I will just say, great job with Tannehill's best seasons were with Arthur Smith as OC, and now he's getting production out of Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. Like,
yeah, so Tennessee is a shell of itself. It ended its relationship with Vrabel. Vrabel, I think, now is an assistant in Cleveland. So I don't even know if it's they can't really believe in the rebuilding process as much as, okay, at least Will Levis went to school in Kentucky and Nashville bleeds into the Kentucky market. Maybe we get some sales in Owensboro. Like, I mean, if that's where they are, that's really sad because Nashville is one of the fastest growing cities. And if you want to sell beer and get girls to come to your games just to hang out and scream, woo, Nashville is the place. So you would want Nashville to at least have a football team to get behind, because what other sport do they have there?
Yeah, Vanderbilt did beat
Hockey.
Alabama, right? Like,
right, like
yeah, no,
Vanderbilt's the hottest thing in Nashville right now.
And it's crazy because the Titans are an organization that 3 years ago had Mike Vrabel, A.J. Brown, and Derrick Henry. And like, what do they have to show for those three guys not being there anymore?
Well, I think we're finally starting to see the end pieces of the what went on, going back to, what was the guy's name? Bud Adams. The Bud Adams ownership, right? Even though Bud Adams would die and family would sell, you still had a culture there that carried on still from Houston. I think that's kind of now gone. That's why I think that them hiring Vrabel was still kind of in that realm, just the same way they had Jeff Fisher there for those years. Like, Vrabel would fit into that idealistic mode. So now things are kind of new, and the things that are old are gone. The things that you've known for so long are gone. And never really having a quarterback that people were so in love with. But now you're like thinking, if they had Ryan Tannehill, like, they could be like a 2-game under .500 team.
It's funny because, like, they let Derrick Henry go, but they bring in L'Jarius Sneed. Like, they made some investments in the offseason, but it just feels like their quarterback plays terrible. They can't score. They're 30th in the league in yards. It's just they made these investments and they're just not getting any results. It's weird.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the quarterback, because I think this is really becoming a fascinating story in the NFL, is just how the quarterback has just seemingly disappeared, and they're really a needle in a haystack over the years. Let's go back to 2016. Jared Goff goes 1. Carson Wentz goes 2. Carson Wentz is pretty much done in the league. Then Paxton Lynch. How long did that last?
Not long.
Jacoby Brissett's here, but... Dak Prescott in the 4th round, and it's Nate Sudfeld. That's a name that's popped up. Jeff Driskel popped up for a second, so nothing's left from 16, and that's only 8 years ago. Then you go to 17. Mitch Trubisky goes 1. Patrick Mahomes at 10. Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's career is pretty much over.
Yeah,
I really think
you're looking back-to-back drafts. You have Goff and Mahomes are the only guys still playing at a high level.
Right, exactly. Deshaun Watson's done. Then you get into about Joshua Dobbs, who's kind of floated around, but nothing. Chad Kelly, didn't he? I mean, he got, like, wasn't that like his last chance before
him, to be honest?
Yeah, that's Jim Kelly's nephew that ended up getting into a lot of trouble. He was like, hey, go to the draft. So since 16, right now, we're only talking about Goff, Patrick Mahomes playing at a high level.
Yeah.
18, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, Mason Rudolph. So more names that you understand.
Yeah.
Much better, but Rosen's gone. Darnold's kind of figuring it out. Baker's figuring it out. Jackson and Allen are what you thought they would be. Mason Rudolph is kind of seeming like to continually win the lottery. Mike White was in that draft as well, and Mike White popped up. So now,
a solid backup.
Yeah, so 16, 17, 18, we're talking, what, five quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, do you include Darnold now that he's good in Minnesota? So, like,
yeah,
six,
well,
maybe?
So six.
Max six, yeah.
Six, okay, so then go to 19. Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, that's done. Dwayne Haskins has passed away. Drew Locke is done. Will Greer never really took off. Jarrett Stidham, yeah, they were begging to get him in the game. What for? Gardner Minshew, we can't really give him a flyer, right? So Kyler Murray, maybe.
I don't believe in him, really.
Right, it's like a half.
He fades every year.
Right,
like every year he fades.
So still from 16, 17, 18, there you go, and 19, we're really at six quarterbacks. 2020, Joe Burrow, yes. Tua, yeah. Yes. Herbert, yes. Yeah. Jordan Love, yes. Jalen Hurts, yes. Eason, no. Morgan, no. Fromm, no. Ben DiNucci at showed up, no. So 2020 pretty much gives you the same amount of quarterbacks that you had from 16 through 20. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, it's almost like it's an every other year thing. Like that 18 draft has multiple good quarterbacks. The 2020 draft, multiple good quarterbacks. Whereas like 19 didn't have any, 17 didn't really have any, so... No, well, I mean, Mahomes in 17, but like numbers.
You say every other year, watch this. 21, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond. Like, you almost have to say Davis Mills would be two behind Trevor Lawrence.
I think he would be, yeah. Yeah.
That's how bad 21 was. Trevor Lawrence, would you put him at that same level as Kyler Murray?
I would put him a little bit above Kyler Murray because he's actually won a playoff game.
Okay, like, so he would be the one. Okay, so now we have, what, 10? Maybe since 16 through 21? Then in 22, Kenny Pickett, done. Out. Desmond Ridder, done. Malik Willis, done. Matt Corral, done. Bailey Zappi, done. Sam Howell, done. Skylar Thompson, done. Brock Purdy is the only one, and he's the last one.
Yeah, he was like, they got lucky.
Yeah.
Literally, like that, yeah.
Right. Last year, Bryce Young, done. C.J. Stroud, yes. Anthony Richardson,
done.
Done, on the way to done. Will Levis, done. Hendon Hooker, he's not gotten in there. Haner, Stetson Bennett, Aiden O'Connell, no. Dorian Thompson, right, no.
None of these guys.
And then this year, these are the ones that we're waiting on with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, J.J. McCartney hurt. Bo Nix, yes. Spencer Rattler, I'm going to go no.
I like Spencer Rattler. I know he hasn't played
last
few weeks. No, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just blinded by when I liked him coming out of the draft, but I think he could be good.
Maybe it's from that show. You ever see the show on Netflix, QB1?
Yeah, so I haven't seen it. I know of it.
Yeah, right. So he was in that very first one. It was like him, Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Fields. I think they were in that same one. I could be incorrect if that's the case. Tell me on the text.
Yeah, I believe you.
Because I know there was like two or three of them, but I know they were, I think the three of them were in one together. Let's see here. Wait a minute. Would it be Stetson? Yeah, let's see. Yeah, that's right, because your boy Spencer Rattler was 4 years and a transfer, correct?
Yeah, he went to Oklahoma and then South Carolina.
So he ended up, so by the time he came out of college,
fifth year total.
Yeah, 5 years, so about 5 years ago, and that would put, yeah, that would be right, because Justin Fields came out the year, was what, 2 years before?
Yeah, Justin Fields came out in 21. He was the Mac Jones.
And he came out as a junior, right? He
was sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, yep, there you go. So they were all together. So you wonder, like, this is why Drake May really, really has to work, and this is why I kind of laugh when I hear people say, oh, you should have bypassed May and trying to go get somebody else or what have you. Man, bro, what I just read you from 2016 to now is literally an example of Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring that up, because a lot of times if my team has a high pick, I lean towards trading down, except when you need a quarterback. Like, you can't take unnecessary risks with that position. Like, if you believe May is the guy, like they did, you have to take him there, and then you can build around it from there. But if you don't have the quarterback, you are not going to be a championship-level team no matter what. I mean, look around the league. There's plenty of teams that have good players on defense or good players here and there on offense, but if they don't have the quarterback, I mean, look at the Giants. Malik Nabers could win Rookie of the Year. Dexter Lawrence is one of the best run-defending defensive tackles in the league. They don't have the quarterback, so they're not going to be good, no matter what. Look at Pittsburgh for years.
Well, look at what's happened just in the last 2 years. The Bears have taken a quarterback again within the last 3 years.
Yep.
The Commanders have taken a quarterback again within the last 2 years. Patriots taken a quarterback again in the last 3 years. Falcons taking a quarterback again in the last 2 years.
Plus signing Kirk Cousins.
Right. So I'm talking about like, hey, not too long ago, you drafted a quarterback, and now you're drafting a quarterback again. The Broncos are in there. And then after that, like you start to go back, like the Panthers are probably going to try and do it again this year. So, and they just took one 2 years ago. The Browns might have to. And they took one in the fifth round in 2020.
Well, I was just thinking, I know it's not the same thing, but like they invested so much when they went and got Deshaun Watson because they thought that was the guy. Well, and even the Broncos with Russell Wilson.
But I'm thinking in terms of when you drafted the quarterback and you're drafting again.
Yeah.
Right. So we have to strive for perfection. If we're running for office, John, we got to strive for perfection this year. Right, Zach?
I don't think the bar for office is that high.
Doesn't seem to be very high.
And besides, you're a damn werewolf. The ad says it.
Well, you know what? Not only that, but you know what I've also done? I've robbed people. No, totally kidding. I shouldn't say that out loud. And still want your vote. No kidding. Okay, let's back to the issue at hand. You put the Steelers in that regard. They took a number one guy 2 years ago, and now he's gone. Like, so Desmond Ridder was taken after him in that same draft, and the Falcons have taken another one. Malik Willis was taken, and they went ahead and took Will Penix. Levis the next year.
I was confused.
Sam Howell was taken by the Commanders to try and answer some things when they were going through that
mess. Look at that 2021 draft, right? The five QBs in the first round. Lawrence is the only one still on the team that drafted him.
Yes.
Like, Zach Wilson's on a new team. Trey Lance got traded to the Cowboys. Obviously, Mac Jones is down.
Actually, Davis Mills is still on the same team.
Of the first round guys.
Exactly.
Only one. Yeah, and then Mills later on. It's like, that's the thing. Like, these things... look at 2020. You mentioned Tua and Herbert, and I agree with you, both good. Mm-hmm. But do you think the Dolphins deep down wish they had taken Herbert over Tua? Like, even that, like, they even have one that we agree is probably a hit, and they still look back and probably say, man, maybe we didn't even take the right guy.
Oh,
like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how hard
because,
it is.
Well, because I guess the other part, here's the other part of it, and this is why the N'Keal Harry, this is like the N'Keal Harry argument, right? If you said at the end of Tua's college career and at the end of Justin Herbert's college career, who were you more likely to take based on everything that was being discussed?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd probably say Tua.
Right. Now, hindsight 50-50 is a different thing. And again, you would take Justin Herbert five times. You'd take Jordan Love. You'd take Jalen Hurts. I mean,
think of Hurts,
Right. You'd probably take those guys instead of Tua. But I would also say maybe you would have taken Justin Herbert at that time if you knew that you were trying to get Tom Brady illegally the year before. At least that's closer to what you're trying to get done. But maybe I think you just get hyped. You get caught up in the hype with Tua. The coaching situation had gotten ugly. Keep in mind, in that first year, he was running Brian Flores is running a relief quarterback system.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ryan Fitzpatrick was getting plenty of snaps. He came up here and beat the Patriots.
Yeah, like five saves that year. It should have been a stat they created, like saves in a game. All right, KJ and Lyons, we wrap it up next here on WEEI. Thank you so much for being here.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
You've been checking out KJ and Lyons. Thank you so much for spending your time here, whether it's been 15 minutes or all 3 hours and 47 minutes. Thanks, Mom, for listening, right? That's who would be for here for 3 hours and 47 minutes. But missed any of it? No problem. WEEI at night at the Odyssey app. Just click that. You'll play it chapter by chapter, line by line. You can hear anything we talked about on the show. We had a Castellanos with a deep fly ball, a couple of moments here on the show with that during the Bruins game when the Bruins gave up a goal that was right in the middle of trending, was that not right?
Yeah, right in the middle of trending.
Right in the middle of trending. And then, of course, the Yankees and the Reds. I'm sorry. I just want the Red Sox there. It just makes no sense. Red Sox Dodgers game four. It's gotten tighter, but when it started to break open, it broke open right here on the show when John just burst into song really quick. Like, Castellanos moment, you know. So it's interesting. 37937. What do you have on the text line there, Zach?
One guy loves your campaign ad, and you guys have his vote.
Well, thank you, and remember,
write us in.
I want
one real vote.
Right, vote early and often, and duplicate times.
You don't have to vote for us for president too. You can just vote for write us in on another line.
Never does the ad even say what we're running.
Exactly,
for.
You can write us in on any line you want.
And there you go, injecting politics into it. I'm kidding. Look, it's just a way of saying that we have fun and we recognize what time it is. And maybe if it relieves a little bit of the anxiety that's going on, right? Because you're hearing a lot of ads, tell you a lot of different things, telling you that your grandma really didn't love you, but if you vote a certain way, grandma might love you from the grave. So this is just kind of a way to spoof everything that's going on. It's a talent, right? It's a talent.
Yeah, and we're going to be together on Friday, but the next time after that is on actual election night, week from today. We're going to be together for 4 hours.
Should I be doing the
show?
Should
we do like the Steve Kornacki thing where we just
Up
the mat? That guy knows like every county in America, and he knows stuff about them. It's pretty impressive.
But it's called a computer.
The guy just rattles it off like he knows it. He must spend 4 years studying every county in America and like not just how they vote, obviously, because that's his job, but like, you know, what's the main factory or business in town and everything. It's pretty crazy to actually watch. Like that's a skill, man.
Actually, the cheat sheet or the cliff notes, if you will, have been like learn 7 states and just roll with those. Like at one point, like Virginia
probably
was something
have
you
to
needed
know in Northwest Montana, but.
Well, I think it would just be Montana, right? Like, whether it's Northwest or Southwest, they still all provide the electoral votes for the state.
Yeah, but I'm saying he breaks it down by county.
I remember when it used to be like Florida and Virginia was in the mix. Like, what's happening in Florida? And what are the people who are going to do who live just outside of D.C.? They could decide the election. Now, Florida and Virginia, they're just pretty much what they're going to be. I don't know if you. Well, I've lived in Virginia at one time, and let me tell you, there's a real difference between once you go to Richmond, and you're like, they still print Confederate money here, like the monuments in the middle of the street. I'm like, where are we in Cuba? You know, so you know, like that's the interesting thing I've been able to do is lived in various parts of the country. I lived obviously here in New England. I'm from the New York metropolitan area. I lived in the South. I lived in Georgia. I lived in Atlanta, so that's like the Deep South. I've lived in the Midwest. So I've been able to see how people operate and, you know, their thinking, their ways of going about things. And, man, it's really true. People are the same wherever you go. There's good and bad in everyone. You learn to live. You learn to live with each other. Learning to survive. Together alive. Ebony and ivory. I'm sorry. I'm just quoting a song there. But, look, yeah, I think that's the other thing is that we're just trying to provide a little bit of levity to a very intense situation that's going on in terms of the election and stuff like that. So that's what we're here for, like just a bit of escapism. We're not telling you what to do. We're just telling you to vote for us. What are they running for? You know what's crazy? Someone in New Hampshire is probably saying, KJ and Lyons, what are they running for? I keep hearing that.
I know. Well, think about all the New Hampshire ads we hear. Yeah.
Well,
what are they running for?
I don't know what they're running for, but they're the bee's knees.
That's one of those audio messages.
Right. Well, that's the other thing is just, gosh, those guys are very clear. You ever see the movie The Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy? Well, the premise is a guy named, his name is like Jefferson Washington. And so he figures he can run without putting any ads out. Showing his face, but just because of his name in a southern state, they'd be like, oh, well, Jefferson, I think it's like Jefferson Lincoln. I forgot what his name was, but it was like Jefferson something. You're the history guy. And so he wins and goes to D.C. to try and make change, but realize that he can't make any change and realize that he has to hustle the same way that he was a hustler back. Okay, that's the movie. So
now John, we don't have to see it.
I don't know about you.
It felt like this show went by really fast tonight.
That's a good thing.
We flew through.
It did. You know, I'm here tomorrow with Fitzy. He'll be here from 6 to 8, and then it's me from 8 to 10. It was different hearing that. I was just like, he's welcome to stay, but if he's got
to
go.
I might have to start doing that. I'm just going to leave at 8 o'clock.
Just leave at 8 o'clock? Is that what your agent calls for? Says, I don't do any shows after 8:05.
You know what? I was going to dress up as a Dodgers fan for Halloween, but maybe I'm just going to dress up as Fitzy, and then Friday night I'll leave at 8.
You know what you do? All you do is just come in with like 2 IPAs in each hand.
That's true.
And then dress up in Fitzy, right? And just wear, and you know what? And try, order one of those Mac to the Future t-shirts that he made. I know he's got a, I know he probably has a warehouse full of them.
I'm excited to hear that tomorrow night, because I feel like you and Fitzy's an interesting pairing. Two titans of your industry, but generally don't work together.
Like a wine and Cisco or a wine and beer together.
I think it'll be good. I mean, I'm legitimately interested to listen to it.
I know I will feed him in the paint when it comes to football for sure. So, but man, I need to get back in the pool. I've like slacked off. I've lost a considerable amount of inches working out in the pool because you don't have to lift any weights, man.
Remember, stand up straight.
Yeah, that's right. Float.
6'5" when you stand up straight. 6'6".
There you go. That's an example. If you missed any of the show, you would understand the acupuncture reference from my guy over in Copley Square. That was like in what, hour one, hour two?
Yeah, that was early.
What a way to bring it all back into an envelope. John Lyons, have fun. Thursday, we'll talk again on Friday here on WEEI. Zach, thank you for your hard work. As always, we'll talk to you again. Thank you for spending your time on WEEI at night. See ya!